In the name of one God, Holy Trinity. Amen. I suppose most of us who live here and those of us who go to church here have had some exposure to this story that we have from Matthew's Gospel this morning. We have the privilege of stewarding the Chapel of the Transfiguration, a beautiful space not far from us here that is dedicated to this particular biblical story that we have from the Gospel this morning. And I suppose it's no accident that the Chapel of the Transfiguration is the Chapel of the Transfiguration because where it's sited. Though admittedly, and I have to be careful here not to be too much of a snob, but Mount Tabor, the supposed location of the Transfiguration, has absolutely nothing on the Tetons. It's fun to imagine these events taking place here in our valley, wondering if Peter and James and John and Jesus went up the old Owen Spaulding route or the Exum Ridge. Did they overnight at the hut on the Lower Saddle? And where would Peter possibly plan to have put three booths on the summit of the Grand? And that's not the point of the story, but having the freedom to interact with the Bible is exceedingly important, to be able to do it consciously, because all of us interact with it unconsciously if we're churchgoers, moving in and around the story, putting ourselves in it. That's why we read these stories over and over and over again. So as far as the story is concerned and the church calendar is concerned, this Sunday is a bit of a transition. And maybe we can relate to that. One of us can. Being in transition, being in between from one place to another, from one job to another, from one season to another, from one life to another. It happens to all of us. Life is full of transitions. I can certainly attest to that. So can Jazz. 2016 was a positive doozy for the Bartz family. So here we are, we're sitting in between the season of Epiphany, the season of light, where Jesus comes into the world as a babe, and he goes out of the season as a teacher, casting this compelling vision for a new way to view the world, a new way to live in the world. And then we have this brief pause between seasons where we get the transfiguration, where we get some sense that things change when we see the world the way that Jesus sees the world. And next week we pick up the season of Lent. During Lent, we'll get 5 Sundays of stories demonstrating how Jesus actually puts what he's preaching into action, into the relationships that he has with both strangers and loved ones. So if we step back from things, we can get a sense that over the course of the last 8 weeks and into the next 5, we have Jesus leading us into a new way of living. First, he does that by casting a vision for a kingdom, a reality, a way of both seeing and living in the world where everyone is blessed, no one is cursed, everybody's in. And then we have this immersion, because we need it. This immersion of, if that's true, what Jesus is saying, then what does it look like? What does it look like to live on the ground with this reality where everyone is beloved of God, no one is cursed or excluded, at least from God's care and nurture and favor and blessing? We really go from, this is my child, chosen and marked by my love, delight of my life. To these are my children, chosen and marked by my love, delight of my life. From God, through Jesus, to everyone. But this Sunday, we get this interlude, which includes this story of Jesus taking his inner circle up to the summit of a mountain to pray, short getaway with the leadership of the leaders. And they're treated to this experience, which is mystical, mysterious, and historic. I suppose we have to ask ourselves, what are we supposed to learn from this particular story in this particular place on the timeline? And I should say that this interlude is a construct of the church, of faithful people. This interlude that we have is a fast forward in the sequence of the gospel. We've skipped ahead 12 chapters in the story from last Sunday. The way the story would give it would be Jesus casting his vision, Jesus living out the vision in his day-to-day interaction with others, with other people in the world. And then toward the last third of those interactions, Jesus being changed on the top of a mountain. But I suppose those who created the lectionary have some sense that those of us who are pew sitters have a short attention span. We could use an interlude of mysticism or mystery or the miraculous from time to time just to shake things up, just to stir it up a little bit. So short attention spans or not, what's happening up there on that mountain with those guys? There's the obvious, Moses and Elijah. On the surface, their presence on the mountain signals this continuity of God's relationship with God's people since the beginning of the scriptures. Scholars would tell us Matthew wants his Jewish audience to be absolutely clear that Jesus isn't something new, but a fulfillment of what they've been looking for all these generations, the Hebrew people. And I've said it before, while I believe the social historical context of these stories that we have from the Bible is critical to a full understanding of the story, I also believe that if that's all we walk away with, then we're missing the point of the Bible being living word. We're missing the point that God continues to communicate to us, 2017, Jackson, Wyoming, in and through these stories that took place and were written down so long, long, long ago. So then what's up? What's the point? What is Jesus, Matthew, the church, biblical scholars, and the Spirit trying to communicate to us here? Here's what I think, at least today, at least with this go-around of the story. We have this vision, this beautiful vision, the one Jesus gave us for the last several weeks in the Sermon on the Mount. We have a sense of what kind of world or culture or atmosphere God, with our partnership, desires to continue to create. Not a place of perfection, absent sorrow, struggle, trauma, trial, evil, but nevertheless a place of belovedness, of inclusion and care and nurture, a place of beauty. We have some sense that, and maybe not from God or the story, but we have some sense from our intuition that if we were able to live into that, if we were able to live into the vision that Jesus delivers us in the Sermon on the Mount, even if we were able to live into a thimble's worth, then we would be changed. It would change us. It would make a difference that would be visible. It would leave a mark. And then this story here this morning, it's just a beautiful story of confirmation. Yes, yes, yes. We will be changed. You and I, transfigured, not changed so much as to be unrecognizable, but there will be an unmistakable shine, a glow from sharing a part in creating this vision that Jesus has for the world. And one of those things that will be visible will be how this all fits together from the beginning of time. We will be, in some sense, a wonderful sense, put in our place. Finding a spot among a long list of treasured, beautiful, powerful, love-spreading difference makers. Historical and anonymous. Saints, prophets, preachers, healers, doers of the word. And so here we sit in eternity, in limbo, on the threshold of a new season, one of examination and devotion. And I suppose the question that sits before us, and we have 40 days and some Sundays to respond, but I suppose the question that sits before us right now at this very moment, and always, the question is, do you want that? Do you want that world? Do you want that partnership with God? Do you want to take your place? Do you want to take your place among the doers of the word? Do you want to take your place among the love pioneers who founded good in this valley? Do you want to take your place in welcoming and safeguarding the stranger, the visitor? Do you want to take your place feeding the hungry from the very basement of this church? Do you want to take your place tending the sick, comforting the sorrowful, visiting the captive, empowering the disempowered, teaching those who need teaching? Do you want to take your place rejoicing with those who rejoice? I do. Who's with me?